Hello, test, 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 test. If you do it.
Hello. Test in, test in, so test.
You can hear me, yeah?
No, can't hear anything.
Can you hear anything?
I can hear you. I can't hear you through this, though.
Yeah, you can hear me speaking, yeah?
So,
hello, hello, hello.
Hello, hello, hello.
Bonjour, bonjour, bonjour.
Why are we wearing headphones, then?
Huh?
Why are we wearing headphones?
I don't know, actually. That's a good show. I just thought it'd look better. Welcome to the Optimus podcast, and we are in a new location today, the Optimus U headquarters in Neath Town Centre. I am here with my guest host, call it guest host, regular guest host, Ben Cole Edwards, my friend, who we did, I think, my first ever podcast with you.
Yeah.
So you brought my virginity back.
Yeah. Poppy podcast, Terry.
How are you?
Great. Yeah, great. The weather's a bit shit, but life's good.
Yeah.
How are you?
I'm going on holidays next week and the week after to Lanzarote. So I am literally going to sit by the pool, drink cocktails, and you know, like that man on the Lynx advert with the walking on the beach, like, that's going to be me. I might grow my moustache as well.
Well deserved.
Yeah, you're going on holidays next week as well,
no? Yeah, only West Wales Fish Guard, like.
Nice.
In a log cabin with a hot tub and the dogs and the baby.
Lovely. Yeah. Nice, mate. Nice down that area, isn't
it? Yeah, it's nice. I think we both delivered down there once upon a time. Like,
we did. That's not so nice when you deliver down there. Yeah. It's like, literally, it's like one drop every 45 minutes.
Yeah.
It is madness. You're like, oh, I've only got 20 drops.
Yeah.
And you're still there at 5 o'clock. You're still there at 5. It's absolutely mental.
I remember I went there one day, got into the warehouse, and there were 5 deliveries I had to do.
Yeah.
I was landed, and it was like 3-hour drive that way, hour drive that way, hour drive that way.
It's mental. Like, how do they even make money with that?
No.
You know, because you're looking at fuel. I think you have to fill up like 3 or 4 times. Mm. And, you know, you spend like 20, 30, 40 quid on fuel each time. And it's like, you're only delivering for Avon, you know?
And they got to pay us.
Yeah, Avon calling. So what have you been up to, mate, lately?
I've been trying to work on my piece.
On your piece?
I've deleted all social media.
Yeah.
So this year, my book came out. We had a baby.
Sorry. Hey, Siri. Turn off.
Sorry, I can't do that in that app.
Really? Straight in.
So this year, we've had a baby. Yeah. She's 9 months old. My first book came out, plug. Retired at 25, Law of Attraction. Life's been good, like I said, I've deleted all my social media. Social media can be good if you use it for business and things like that, but it can also be really detrimental to your mental health. I just want to remove all anything toxic, especially in when you're in the stock market and like my Twitter was just full of traders and investors, so it can be toxic. And at the end of the day, like, we tried for a baby for actively like 8 months, but like not actively like 2 years, and that's all we want. There was a family, so me spending time on social media is taken away from being with my daughter. So
I totally agree with you. You know, it is a very, very toxic place to be. You know, you see all the abuse, especially people, you know, influencers and celebrities get on social media. It's beyond a joke sometimes when you get these people that normally are sitting in, I always say they're sitting in their mother's box room, just hurling abuse at people.
Yeah.
When what have they actually done to impact anyone's life anyway, other than being vile and disturbing? Yeah. So what sort of impact has it had on you since you deleted social media?
When I first deleted it, I was fine deleting Facebook and Instagram, but Twitter for me is like half, I'll post about the stocks I'm in, and half of it is about spirituality and trying to get people. I'm learning and talking a lot about the subconscious mind. So anything I learn, I try and post out to help other people. I deleted Twitter maybe a week ago. And then for the next 2 days, I was still going on Twitter, but using Safari.
Yeah.
Just Googling it. It was like an addiction. And then I found out recently how to block the Twitter website through security on your iPhone. So I done that. And then I found myself Googling the stocks I was in to see what the price was doing, where I just want to forget about it. The stocks I'm in is long term. So the day-to-day price doesn't matter or shouldn't matter. But if you've got a lot of money in one stock and one day it's down 10%, it really gets to you. It ruins your day. So I've blocked even Google. I can't search anything on Google now. I can use Duolingo because I'm learning Spanish. Use my emails and things like that. But yeah, social media is a highlight reel. It shows your best things. And I'm example of that. Years ago, now I've sort of done my best to remove my ego. So I don't care what other people think. But years ago, I was just all ego. Just taking steroids. I was in the gym all the time, posting topless photos, whatever I could. But I remember posting a photo of Leonardo DiCaprio in The Wolf of Wall Street, where he's throwing money off his yacht. And I said, if you think you're bad with money, I just blew 10 grand in 3 weeks. Because I wanted people to think I was doing well. Came out of uni. But I took a 10 grand loan out. And I didn't post that I was paying it off every month. You'll see someone on Facebook and they'll say, I just picked up my new Mercedes. And you think, oh, fuck, wish I had a new Mercedes. But then I'll post in the £300 a month finance or the tax or the
living MOT. Living with their mother.
Living with their mother. Mom, can I have money to go to McDonald's with the boys?
So they're driving in the fucking CLS or whatever.
You just see the best things.
I totally agree with you. I think if I didn't have my fitness brand now and doing this, I don't think I'd have social media because it does impact your mindset.
Oh, yeah.
You see things on social media. I suffered with anxiety. I still do to a certain degree, nowhere near as as much as I did. I used to overanalyze everything on social media. You know, you see someone that you sort of know doing really well, and then you're like, this was years ago now, but you know, you're like, well, why am I doing this? Why? Yeah. Or you see someone who's like a prick, who's a bell end of a guy, right? And he's got a really good looking, nice girlfriend, and you're like, why haven't I got that? You know? And it's like you overanalyze things, and it does really get to you, right?
Yeah.
You see so many people on social media, like you said, influencers and not influencers, but they're putting things on social media. I always say as well, the couples, right, that put stuff on social media every single day are normally the ones that are not the happy ones, you know? And they're the ones that are always going in and out of relationships, back and forth. Yeah. It's not a stable relationship. And I do think social media is one of the big faults for that.
Yeah.
So it is a very toxic place. As I said, if I didn't have these things, I probably wouldn't have it. Because I look at my gran and my granddad, you know. They were together 60-odd years and they were so totally devoted to each other until the day they died. You can never have that now. You know, you can't because there's so much distractions.
Yeah.
Why are you liking her photo? Why are you friends with her? Why are you friends? It's just, I've had it when I had my relationships. Will you delete her? And I'm like, and it's only going to get worse. And I actually really sorry for the next generation again because it's going to get more toxic and toxic and toxic.
Well, I was thinking the same because of my book. And like I said, I kept posting about stocks. So I just wanted to help.
Yeah.
So I didn't want to delete social media. So first of all, Instagram, I unfollowed everyone except my fiance.
Yeah.
So if I just open Instagram to just scroll, which is pointless, there's nothing for you.
Yeah.
I'm just consume your attention.
Yeah.
It's not productive is what I meant to say. I'd open Instagram subconsciously and all I'd see was photos that either I'd posted or my partner posted,
yeah,
normally of the baby.
Yeah.
So first thing I see was a baby and I'm thinking, why the fuck am I on Instagram?
Yeah.
My daughter's on the floor watching TV. My missus is there, dogs are there. Why am I on my phone? Like on Twitter as well. I made the most amount of money I've made was my second trade back in November, and I knew and still know nothing about the stock market. It was just law of attraction going on, get. And then one of the stocks which I had a lot of money in, still got a lot of money in, I was waiting for a while for them to uplist from being a penny stock to on the NASDAQ with the big boys, like. And the stock was like $3, $4 and then went up to $5, and I said, right, when this uplist, this is going to go to $30. I haven't got a clue like what I'm talking about. Everyone's like, oh, the market structure and the market cap and the share structure.
What the fuck are they on about?
They were all abusing me. Like,
oh, right.
They were like, there was fucking clans of people just abusing me. And I was like, I made YouTube videos when I was in school and got bullied for it. If I'm going to get bullied for making six figures and not knowing what I'm fucking talking about, I'm take it. Like,
oh, yeah.
But I've got about 200 people on my block list. And like when it uplisted, it didn't go to 30. It went down from 5 to like 3. So in 1 week, I made like 6 figures and then went down 5 figures in like 2 weeks. And the abuse were just getting constantly. And it wasn't just people replying to my tweets. It was people directly tweeting me saying or using screenshots of my old tweets. I'm like, you live with your mother. I don't work anymore. Like you're abusing me for making money. Or just calling random fucking numbers. I don't care. Like,
do you know what I done? And I've taken the comments off my YouTube videos.
Yeah.
Not because I get abuse. I don't think I've had one bad. I don't want to put myself in that situation of some twat from Rochdale who lives in his mother's attic is abusing me for trying to motivate people
exactly.
Do something with my life when they're, you know, wanking into socks and chucking them in their mother's gutters.
Yeah.
Thank you, that kids. I'm not putting myself in the situation. I listen to True Geordie podcast, and he says, why would I leave my comments on just so people can abuse me? If you look at people's comments, they very rarely have a nice thing to say about something. Mm. It's always negative.
Yeah.
Why would you want to put yourself in that negative vibe and thought process? For me, I'm an overthinker, you know. So I would, if I seen a bad comment, negative comment, it would ruin my day. And I don't want to put myself in that situation.
Yeah.
So it's just not. What do you think on the social media thing? So what do you think about Facebook's name? So it came out this week. Facebook's changing its names to Meta. With an N, right? I think to myself, this guy is mental. I think he's trying now to, he's got a bit of power, he can do what he wants. He's probably got the three most biggest social media platforms in the world with Instagram, Facebook, and WhatsApp.
Yeah.
He's just doing what he wants now. He's just probably there with his mates, with a cigar, probably pissed, drinking whiskey, going, what can I change the Facebook name to really wind people up? And he's like, that sort of thing. And I'm like, why would you change something that's not broad? Yeah. Facebook's massive.
Yeah.
It's huge. I don't like Facebook, I'll be honest. If I had to choose one, it would be Instagram.
Yeah.
Only because launching my clothing brand, I've had quite a lot of sales and quite a lot of, it's really helping my brand awareness. So that's why I like it. But why would you, what is going through his mind to change it?
The only thing I miss about Facebook is I'm big into my cars. So I spend a lot of time on the marketplace looking at cars. But other than that, like you said,
can you just get the marketplace app though?
Is there a marketplace app?
I think it's a marketplace app. I'm sure there is.
Fuck.
I think you can, because one of my mates is deleted Facebook. And he still looks at Facebook marketplace.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, so I'm sure there's an app. But I literally, as if people are going to go like that, they're in fucking Tesco's. I always use Tesco's as a thing. In Tesco's. I'll poke you on the Meta. As if you're going to say Meta, right? Yeah. It's always going to be Facebook.
It started as the Facebook.
Yeah, did it?
When they first made it, it was their Facebook.
Wow.
And then changed it to Facebook. Have you seen the film?
I know, the social.
The social something, isn't it?
Yeah, social. Yeah, whatever. I was going to say drop in the comments.
He says on there, drop the, and just call it Facebook.
Wow.
So yeah, the name doesn't really fucking matter, but like, it comes down again to happiness. That guy is one of the richest in the world, billionaire, and he's young.
Yeah.
Is he happy?
I doubt that.
The main thing consuming his mind now, from what we can see, we might all be wrong, is changing the name of Facebook, and that's something big for him.
I know.
Which seems pointless to us. Like,
you look at Steve Jobs, I don't think he was happy either, you know? Look at all the rich and successful people. You know, I think you get to a stage, maybe over greed, maybe. You get to a stage where it's like a drug.
Yeah.
You want it. You get to a stage, you're like, well, I can't really have anymore.
Yeah.
So I'm like, what the fuck can I do now? It's probably just messing with people's minds now. Because there is thousands and millions of people out there that actually rely on Facebook.
Yeah.
That's their like happy place.
Yeah.
So change it to something else, that might interfere with their mind.
Yeah. There's a figure, I don't know if it's like 80,000 or £70,000 a year.
Yeah.
But there's like a cap to your happiness. When you earn that amount a year, you won't need any more, like, for example. Yeah. But like, these days, people see success and wealth as external, but it's just a state of mind, it's a mindset like wealth. Because being wealthy isn't about having loads of money, it's about having freedom.
Yeah.
So like, I don't really want to talk about stocks too much, but one stock I like is AT&T, and it pays 7% dividend a year.
Yeah.
So if you got to a point where you had 200,000-300,000, and you put it into that company, you can take however much out whenever you want, but they'll pay you, I know personally, enough, more than enough to cover my bills, double to cover my bills every year. So £200,000 is enough to live a good life.
Yeah, yeah.
Still go on holidays, still pay all your bills, still run everything. So people say, I want to be a millionaire, I want to be a multimillionaire, then I want to be a billionaire.
Yeah.
And they look for it out there when happiness is inside, like, if you appreciate the moments you're in and not, I want a Lamborghini, and then you get a Lamborghini. I want an Aventador. So you get an Aventador and think, I want a bigger house. So you get a bigger house. But like at the end of the day, say it's 10 o'clock at night and you're watching TV. If you was a multimillionaire, what would you be doing different?
TV on a bigger fucking TV.
Exactly. You'd be watching the same thing on a different TV in a different house with a different car parked up. So that's it.
Yeah, it's true. So true. Like I think one of the reasons why I started my fitness brand was not just to build a really successful big brand, but it's more than that. It's to really connect with people on another level and try and help and inspire people to be the Optimus version of themselves, which Optimus is best in Latin.
Yeah.
So it's more than that for me. Like building a 200 million pound business would be amazing, but it wouldn't be fulfilling.
Yeah.
I would get more fulfilled than helping 500 people get to where they want to be.
Yeah.
You know, I just think that is proper fulfillment in life.
Yeah.
Not money's materialistic. You know, it comes and goes. You know, you can lose money, but you can earn money.
Money's just a symbol at the end of the day, like.
And with all this bollocks about them going cashless now, I just really, it's a scary time. It really is a scary time to be on this earth, I think. You know, you see all these places, Costa, I don't want to name drop too many, but all these places, they're going cashless now.
Mm.
I'm like, cash, I've always been brought up, a cash is king, really.
Mm.
You know, if you go cashless, the old people, they're not going to be wanting to do tap the card and use their fucking watch. And, you know,
exactly.
They want to go down the post office, get their money out and go and do their shop. Imagine them getting turned away in Morrison's or something, you know? So,
I think our mindsets are the same, like you said about your brand and I said about the book. It's not about the money. And like, My book is $5.99.
Yeah.
And with Amazon and my publisher, yeah, I don't get the full $5.99. So me selling thousands of books without sounding egotistical doesn't make a difference to me.
No.
It's the message in there.
Yeah.
And I talk about the law of attraction and the universe and how you can work with the universe, create your own reality.
Yeah.
And if I talk about that online or I post a video about it, 50 people, for example, might say, that guy's talking a lot of shit, mm-hmm, even though I don't work and I'm financially free. Like,
yeah,
people say he's talking a lot of shit, he's away with the fairies.
Yeah.
But 10 people will say, thank you so much, you've changed my life, mm-hmm, or you've helped me a lot today, or you've helped me with this. So that's the reason why we do it. I think the main reason why I wanted to do the podcast with you is because me and you are two Welsh boys who understand that 9 to 5 isn't it.
No.
And to motivate others to do so.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, we talked about people we want to get on the podcast.
Yeah.
Me personally, I want to get people on that have started to break out of the 9 to 5 or they've started to do something different. And they're at that level where we can plant seeds in their heads, not as mentors, but just to say, look, you can do whatever the fuck you want.
Yeah.
If you're a rapper and you're posting YouTube videos, you can do more than the YouTube videos.
Yeah,
if you've started a clothing brand and you're only selling, you're making the clothes yourself and you're only selling them in a stall in a market, you can go online. You think bigger.
Yeah, cool.
Because, like, I don't know if yours are the same, but, like, a lot of family of mine, because it's a generational thing, it's don't do something on your own. Don't go self-employed.
Mm.
Work for a business, be an employee, then save, then get a house. They never, no one motivates you. No one motivated me in my family, some of them did, to break out of the 9 to 5 and do something that makes you happier.
Yeah.
Like my first job after uni, first full-time job was £5.13 an hour, and I was loading and unloading TVs in the warehouse.
Yeah.
The family were landed. They're like, whoa, you're set for life. Congratulations. I was like, the fuck? That's like, I remember when I started investing, I think it was the start of this year, I ate £200,000. I told my grandfather, he laughed his head off.
Yeah.
He couldn't grasp it. He was like, £200,000. I was like, yeah. That's, and he worked in the mines all his life.
How long would he have to work to earn that money?
I don't know, with inflation. But my job, I worked in Asda. I don't think I was earning 12, 14,000 a year. So many fucking years to what I earned in 5 weeks. Like, it's crazy.
I was quite lucky because my dad has been an entrepreneur. He's owned his own business since he was like 25. Oh, really? You always get people that are skeptical, you know.
Yeah.
Family members are like, oh, be careful and stuff and things like that. But
until you do it.
Yeah, exactly. This isn't a podcast to, like we said, this is really to help motivate people.
Yeah.
Really do something they've always wanted to do. Take the risk. Because the way that I look at it, if you lose, say you wanted to start a business with 5,000, right, and you saved up this 5,000, and you fail, it doesn't make you a failure.
No.
It makes you that person that's got up.
Yeah, it's a lesson.
And you've given it a go. And then the next time, I guarantee you'll be a lot better equipped and you will succeed.
Yeah.
But it's just taking that risk. It took me a long time to have the courage to do what I'm doing now. Yeah. You know, it's took me years and years of working. I worked in like Germany and Italy. I worked for my dad for years. Took me a long time. And once I turned 30, yeah, I know I am 30, guys. once I turned 30, 31, actually, I just went, you know what? I'm going to actually give this a go. Mm. Because if I don't try now, I might never do it. And I don't want to be one of them old people that are sitting in their chair when they're like 70 years of age and like, probably should have given that a go.
Yeah.
I don't know where I'd be now, you know.
Yeah.
Might be on the beach somewhere instead of, you know, South Wales.
Yeah.
So I do encourage, and every sort of young person I speak to, and I always encourage them to, like, just, if they've got, it's all about interest as well. If you've got an interest in something and you've got passion for it, why wouldn't you start a business around that? Like, for me, Amazon come along, like, I love toys, you know? So I've always had interest in toys, because my dad had an Amazon toy business 15 years ago. So ever since then, and it came along and I was like, right, I'm going to give this a go. Then that has led to something that I'm so passionate about.
Yeah.
Not only I love doing podcasts and YouTube, but my fitness brand is the reason, you know, why I'm doing it is because all these fitness brands out there, or majority of them, their concept is 1%. Every single photo is of the 1% of people. I'm not, I don't want that. You know, I want every shape, every size, every race, everyone to feel like they're connected to my brand. And we're in like a community and everyone can help everyone thrive. Yeah. Like I said, it's not about money for me. I want to do things to help change people's lives and hopefully the world. This is why I'm trying to be sustainable.
Yeah.
That's a big thing for me now. Never used to be. You know, years ago when I was in my early 20s, I probably didn't even used to do recycling.
Yeah.
And now it's a massive, massive thing for me to wear things that are not gonna deter the planet, you know, not gonna affect the planet. So it's difficult, though, to go fully sustainable very early on. I've managed to do it with men's, but women's at the moment is very difficult because it's a lot more expensive. Then it's a lot more of a competitive market. So it's not sustainable for a brand so early on to go fully sustainable. But things like the menswear, things like, you know, the packaging that I send stuff in, like compostable packaging and things like that, are really going to help my brand along the way. But
You said about starting things.
Yeah.
I've started about 5 different businesses.
Yeah.
All failed.
Yeah.
Before I found things that I wanted to do, like started a clothing brand.
Yeah. Talk to us a bit more about that then, because obviously that aligns with my business and like the podcast. So talk to us about when you started it. What was the clothing brand?
Yeah.
You know, what sort of styles was it? And, you know, what was your ambition for it?
So 5 years ago, me and my mate, I think we always had in the back of our minds, we wanted to start a clothing brand.
Yeah.
So we went on a website that done wholesale clothing, and then we bought like 2 hoodies and 2 vests, 2 joggers. We went through 2 of everything, took it to a local shop, got our logo printed. I won't say the name because I sold the company and it's still going.
Okay. How's it doing?
Not very good.
It's not very good.
I don't want to say negative because I don't know anything about the company really, but I haven't seen them as active as I was.
Like,
the clothes look better than mine were, but I haven't seen them as active. Might be doing great. And then we got the first lot of clothes. I think I had about 150 quid to my name and it came to about 140.
Yeah.
Bought it. And then I wanted to buy more. And my mate was like, oh, well, we'll wait a bit. I was like, well, no, if we're going to start it, let's do it.
Yeah.
And he wanted to wait till he had more money. And I just blew all my money on it anyway.
Yeah.
So kicked him out, went on my own, then went with a manufacturer in China, took it to like barbers and shops and got the clothes in there to sell. When it first launched, we were still wholesaling and printing.
Yeah.
And I was working in a warehouse and it launched. And I turned my internet off and I thought, right, give it an hour, knock it back on, and I will be inundated with orders.
Yeah.
Knock my internet on, didn't have a single order. Messaged my website guy, and I was like, look, are you sure you've done it all right? Is it all set up properly? Yeah. I said, I haven't had an order yet. And he was like, yeah, it all seems fine. I was like, fuck, didn't make a sale. I think in the end, I think I had it for a year or two. I think I broke even, but I was sort of in and out of jobs, so I could never put money into it.
Yeah.
And like it got to one point, I was in a call center and I'd get a lot of clothes in and they'd sell to the people I was working with, my colleagues. Yeah. And then I wouldn't have enough money to, I could either buy clothes and not have money to pay models and things like that, or I could pay models, but then I wouldn't have any clothes to sell.
Yeah.
So I ended up selling the company. And I think that's where I broke even, really. But yeah, it's just trying. So I had a holiday business. Went on Airbnb.
I remember you having this. Yeah.
Found a hotel in Thailand.
Yeah.
And then it's basically drop shipping. But like...
People.
I'd get people to book. I think I made like £100 at the end of it. I get people to book through me. I book the hotel with their details.
Yeah.
I done drop shipping as well for a little bit. But yeah, try something like, fuck what people think.
You got to. Even if it's something like, you know, it hasn't got to be anything on social media or, you know, even if it's something you've got a passion for, you know, when I don't know, hot dogs, just, you know, open a hot dog store, give something a go, you know. Yeah. Even like things like buying and selling on eBay to start off with. That's how a lot of people started off. That's like Gary Vee and a lot of people in America started off. You can go to boot sales. Go to boot sales with £100, right? I guarantee if you buy the right things, do your research, buy the right things, you could 5x that money every single weekend. So there's always an excuse for me. Oh, people haven't got enough money and things like that. There's always ways to fight earn money.
Yeah.
There is all, you just gotta go, you know, look for it and just show a little bit more of ambition. Like, you know,
people just want to be rich overnight.
It's like, it is like that. It is society these days. And, and people, as we said, social media, they put things on social media that, and they portraying that they're doing a lot better than, you know.
A lot of it, like I said, one of the books I'm reading now is like, I think it's like 200 years old. It's called The Power of the Subconscious Mind.
Yeah.
Might be like 100 years old.
The page is still all right.
Yeah, it's reading like. But it talks about like, I don't want to get too deep.
Yeah.
If you say, I haven't got the money to start it.
Yeah.
That's your conscious mind saying it, which will make your subconscious mind believe it. And then you'll never have enough money because that's a belief now.
Yeah.
Anything in your subconscious mind is something that your conscious mind has told it becomes a belief.
Yeah.
So saying money is evil will push money away from you.
Yeah.
Saying I haven't got enough money to do this, or I'm not good enough to start a business, or I'll fail. They are limiting beliefs that you have put on yourself that you now believe. So if you keep saying I'm losing money, you will continue to lose money because your mind will make it so.
Yeah.
Like in the stock market, if you see when your stock's starting to lose money, you keep thinking about money falling. So money will keep falling down. Like, or the other hand, if you start telling yourself, I've got an abundance of money, my bills are always covered, money flows into my life, money will start flowing into your life.
Yeah.
And it sounds like a load of shit until it starts clicking for you. Like,
yeah, no, I agree. It's definitely something that I've started. My thought process on things is a lot clearer now. And I do think like a little bit more like that. One of the things that winds me up as well, what really grinds my gears, Peter Griffin, is when people moan about their skin, right?
Yeah.
But they're going out and buying fucking Prada bags or Gucci fucking t-shirts or dresses or whatever. Stop buying these materialistic things.
To impress people you don't like.
Exactly. I don't wear any designer stuff. I used to when I was a teenager.
Mm.
I used to love Armani. I literally live in tracksuits now. You can buy your tracksuits from OptimusU.co.uk. But I just live in tracksuits. Or if I'm going to go and buy a shirt, I'll go to Zara or River Island or Boohoo. You know, I've never been one of them. You know, I can afford it. I can go out and buy a £300 shirt if I wanted to.
That's the fucking key. I always wanted an Audi R8 until I could afford one.
Yeah.
And then you're like, why the fuck would I spend money on something like that?
No, I know.
Until you can afford to buy something times 10.
Yeah.
Apart from a fucking house, which I think is the only exception.
Yeah.
Like, don't buy a car you want until you can buy 10 of them.
Yeah.
When I started posting about the stock market, one guy tweeted me and he was like, because people didn't believe me.
Yeah.
And then, because I'm a big car guy, I bought my Range Rover. And one guy tweeted me and he said, oh, now you'll shut people up in my stig. And I was like, oh, people didn't believe me. They thought I was talking shit.
Yeah.
A lot of it's ego. And then when I sold my Range Rover, my mother, she said, you know what people are going to think? Why are you going backwards in cars? I was like, I don't give a fuck what people think.
No.
People who are fucking tweeting me abuse, I've got to make sure their boss is not looking because they're on their phone.
Yeah.
And I'm fucking down a beach in a camper van.
Exactly. I think I've never been... I used to like my cars, you know. If I got to the stage or when I get to the stage of I'm a multimillionaire, I would be paying off my mother and father's mortgage first. Mm. You know, I'll be buying them a house so they can retire and enjoy their lives because they're the people that have made me.
Yeah.
So why would I go and spunk $100,000 on a Lamborghini or $150,000 when I can pay off their mortgages and make their life better? So don't start crying, man.
The thing is, like, if I went and bought, let's say I've got 600,000 and I go and buy £400,000 house and $200,000 Lambo.
Yeah.
People think I'm fucking minted and then I'd be skint.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just people's egos. You buy
fucking Tesco meal deals three times a day. Like,
exactly.
Beyond fucking chili and rice all week. It's madness. It is madness. Unfortunately, this is today's society.
Yeah.
And I think it's going to get a lot worse. I really, really do. With the... there's every single day now there's different social medias coming out, you know. I don't even know half of them anymore.
Yeah.
Like, there's Twitch, there's, you know, I didn't even realize like Pinterest is like social media now, and it's so much. I actually like Pinterest, it's quite good. You know, there must be 100 different social medias now, and there's probably another 100 that we've never even heard of or teenagers are. So I do think it's going to get worse, but. Anyway, enough about social media. I've had a tipple of it. How are you finding being a dad?
Great.
Yeah.
It's all I've ever wanted.
Yeah.
How do I say this without offending anyone? Didn't have the best upbringing.
Yeah.
I won't go into detail, but didn't have the best upbringing. Father left when I was 2.
Yeah.
Thomas when I was 9. Said I wouldn't go into detail. All I've ever wanted was to be a father.
Yeah.
So, and like when me and my partner first got together, it was like destiny.
Yeah. We had
the same birthday. I got down on one knee 5 months in. Been together about 5 years now. We always said, want a dog, want a house, want a baby. Best thing in the world.
Mm.
But like, I see a lot of people. Like, we went out for a meal recently and you'll see a mother sat there on a phone and a kid sat there like this. I'm like, that kid's going to spend all their life on their phone.
Yeah.
Because monkey see what monkey do. It's just going to copy you. I seen a photo online of a woman and a son on a train or a bus, both reading a book each.
Yeah.
Because the son will imitate the parent. So, yeah, being able to... be as spiritual as I am and as like consciously aware as I am is great because I can give all my attention to my daughter and just watch as she grows and be in every single moment that she's in.
Yeah.
I am blessed to know how the universe works, to be able to create wealth that I haven't got to go to work and stay with my daughter. So it's lucky sometimes I forget and I can just say, oh yeah, I spend all day with her, forget, and that's fucking brilliant. But I speak in, I've written another book, don't know if I told you, need to finish it. I talk a lot about the concept of time and how it doesn't really fucking exist. So people say, oh, they grow up so fast. It's just because we've labeled a year as a year and this is this. Life is quick. We've just labeled it to make it sound quicker. So being able to appreciate every moment is fantastic. Like,
you're definitely lucky. Like, I, something that I've always wanted is a kid, kids, and obviously in a happy relationship, married. I always thought I'd be married by him, like 25, 26, but it has never, it hasn't ever come about. Obviously, I've still got time. I'm still young. Hopefully, they do say, you know, it'll just come out of nowhere. So, but that's something that I have made one of my ambitions, and you know, to have a family, certainly. One, to shut my mother up because I'm an only child. But two, because I just really, really want it, and I can see. To be honest, my group of friends, really, there's only really one baby in there, you know. Sorry, one of the boys has had a baby. I think maybe two out of like school boys and my close mates from Neath. Yeah, so we're not much of a baby producing group, to be honest, but it's something that I have always wanted. I think that's true fulfillment. Having a family. All everything else is an add-on.
It's mad. Family is a bloodline. Creating generations. That's crazy. Like, I think it was yesterday, me and my partner sat on the couch just watching my daughter. I said, she's gonna be a grandmother one day. Just creating, you're the ancestor now, like, and you're creating this whole line of, I'm hoping that her grandkids will never have to work. My daughter, I'm planning on homeschooling, but she might get to 12 and think, Dad, I want to be a nurse. But great, then we'll go and get the qualifications. But for me to, like I said, we tried for so long to have a baby just to get a school age and ship them off to school for 6 hours a day to learn fucking Pythagoras that they're not going to use. I think, and it does sound a bit like not so much cocky, but I think I can teach her more with what I've learned about the world and how the mind works. I can teach her more about life and get her more to life. Everyone, like, my family's like, oh no, she needs to go to school for a social side of it. And like all my friends I didn't go to school with. I moved to a new place and my mother said, go out and play.
But I agree with you on that. But do you think society's changed so much now? Kids don't really go out and play, do they?
That's true.
So do you think that it would neglect that too much? What would you introduce?
More kids. Friends there.
Great answer.
Because like Elon Musk says about college, university is to learn how to do your chores. And it's not about knowledge. School, I think, within the next 30 years will be obsolete. You can learn anything online. Like my sister's in uni and she's in a third year now doing photography. You can do a photography course in 6 weeks. She's going to get into debt for 3 years to learn how to take a photo. You can go on YouTube and learn how to do the best photo fucking skills.
I had to set this podcast up yesterday and it took me literally, right? It took me about 6 hours to set up two mics into a Mac. I was just like, what the fuck is going on here? I was like, you know, it's so hard to do things like that. So, but like, I agree, you can get everything on YouTube.
Like, sometimes I've gone to a mechanic and I said, oh, this issue, I've had fucking 27 cars. I said, I've had this issue with this car. And he's like, oh, Google's it or YouTube's it. Like, I go to two mechanics normally and they don't have any qualifications to be a mechanic. They just learned.
That is mental. You can literally, if you wanted to, I don't know, hard drive something, you can, if you wanted to take apart a HP monitor, you can step just by put step. On YouTube.
What business qualifications have you got?
Nothing. I come to, So basically, where we are now, so just to say where we are. So where we are now, this is actually in Neath College. So it's like an enterprise program that they're doing for new businesses that I've been managed to secure. So I come to this college for 6 to 9 months and done business, but I can't remember any of that.
Yeah, exactly. You know? School is about memory retention.
Yeah, I can't remember. That's what you can remember. School, all I remember was, you know, having a laugh with the boys. I can't remember fucking algebra.
Yeah.
What a load of bollocks. Exactly. That is,
if you're listening or watching this and you're in school or you've just done your GCSEs or your A levels, if someone has all A's, it's because they've got a good memory.
Yeah.
They've remembered everything they've been taught.
Yeah.
That's it. Like everyone that I know that had top marks are working 9 to 5 on barely minimum wage.
Yeah. Gary Vee is a massive example. Gary Vee was still working as
in a wine cellar.
But before that, he was working in a restaurant. This was when he was like 32, and he's only 44 now.
Yeah, exactly.
And now he's worth probably 200-300 million.
Yeah.
His business is. So it's never too late either. That's the way I look at it. Even if you're 40, it's never too late to start something that you'd love to do.
KFC, Colonel Sanders was 60-something when he started KFC.
Is he really?
Yeah. Oprah was in her 40s. Harrison Ford was in his 40s, I think, when he started acting.
Wow.
It's never too late to start. Like,
it is. Yeah, it's definitely... it's
as young as you feel. Thing is, getting a fucking regret. I used to work in Asda before I started investing. And I'll go there now and I'll see people in their 60s are still working. And tell them, they ask about the stock market. And like, yeah. And they say, oh, like this week, guy said in the 60s, he said, oh, I couldn't risk her.
Yeah.
Couldn't take the risk. I'm like, you were risking your fucking life working on minimum wage, 9 to 5 or whatever hours he works. And you're in your 60s.
Yeah.
You're telling me at 26 that, I wouldn't risk fucking $6,000 is all I've ever put into the market. Like,
it's a very low risk. You can start with anything as well.
You can start with, on Trading 212, you can probably get fucking websites to do it. They show you can pick, like, I'm going to invest in the Tesla, the S&P 500, Apple, and it'll show you can say, like, I'll start with 25 quid and put 50 quid a month in, and it'll tell you in 10 years how that's compounded into fucking loads of money, like.
Yeah.
Crazy. You just don't get taught it in schools, because schools is going to be obsolete.
Why do you think they still do the same lessons?
Because they teach you to be an employee.
They don't even have any social media training now.
No, they teach you to be an employee. They teach you wear a uniform because you will when you work. Listen to me as a teacher because you'll listen to your boss when you get a job.
Yeah.
It's to keep the 1% the 1%.
Yeah, it's true. My favorite teachers in school were the ones that were telling me to be creative. Things like music, drama, art. They're the only teachers that I actually connected with in school. Well, we're going to try and do this every week. We're going to have try and have a new guest every single week. Maybe people that have never done a podcast before, because, you know, there's so many podcasts out there and it seems like it's the recurring guests all the time.
Yeah, so the really, same story.
Exactly. We're going to write lists, you know, you write 20, I'll write 20, and then we'll try and get these people in.
I want people that can add value to us, but we can also add value to them.
Yeah, and obviously add people that help to inspire people on the podcast as well. So we're probably going to do the next one in a couple of weeks. I've got a really interesting one that's never done a podcast for the first one. Who I'm really, really excited to do it with, because he's got a really, really good story. But yeah, it's been a good one.
Yeah, it has.
Just wanted to be a conversation, not so much talking and asking so many questions. You know, I've got two things written down there. You know, I don't want it to be, you see so many podcasts, they're on their fucking computer reading the questions. I done it on my first few podcasts. Yeah. I was literally reading off my Google Sheet, asking the questions. it's not a conversation, eh? Yeah. It's just like question time with fucking Michael Parkinson. Yeah. Is that right?
Yeah.
It's just like that. It's just like throwing questions, getting the answers, not really absorbing what anyone's actually saying.
Yeah.
So you just like go on to your next question when you could actually be asking 5 or 6 different questions from your first initial question.
Eh? Yeah.
So I hope you enjoyed it, mate.
Yeah, I did. You too.
Yeah, man. So we will see you in a couple of weeks. I'm going to do a giveaway, actually. So anyone watching this podcast on YouTube, give us a like on the video and give us a follow on Instagram, Optimus U, Jimware. DM us saying YouTube, hashtag YouTube, and the winner will get 2 hats, colours of your choice.
Nice.
So look out for that and give us a DM. And I've been Luke.
I've been Ben.
Thank you very much.